I hope we are. And we have something in common as believers. We have a body, a soul, and we're born again, so we have a human spirit, which puts us all into unity in Christ. We talked about then how to name your sins, which puts us into fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's something we can lose. We always will have our salvation. We'll always have our indwelling of God the Father, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and indwelling of Christ. But we can lose that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and that tool we always have to use. We talked about that. Today, though, I was going to go on and talk about a little bit more about claiming promises, such as what Moses did, stand fast and watch the deliverance of the Lord. But instead, I decided to go back to something more basic. And we want to talk about the Word, the God. The Word that John mentioned in 1 John 1:9, in the beginning was the Word. And John built that after what was really in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. But John, the Apostle John, in the book of John, was focusing on the Word, the God-man. So, Logos Tau Theou. I'm not very good at pronouncing Greek, but that's kind of a transliteration of the Greek. And the realm of absolute truth that while dwelling in God eternally was revealed progressively to man. Man didn't always have this information, and it happened progressively as we look at the Old Testament into the New Testament. So the term the Word is used synonymously with the Bible, the written canon of Scripture. The Scripture reveals God's complete plan of grace in human history. As we read in the first reading, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And the word goes through to us through history. And also we said in Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the word of God. And Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. So it's the Word that is key. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the Word. Now in the Old Testament, God was faithful. He always provided information. He was as in Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory in these past dispensations or era. God communicated his word through different things back then. We didn't have the written scripture. Through theophanies. He provided that. Theophanies were a visible manifestation of God, such as a pillar of fire by day that led Israel, or a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, or the fire over the tabernacle, which showed that the Holy Spirit and God was with Israel. So there were theophanies. There were angelic appearances. Angels would appear and talk to the prophets. They would receive information through dreams and visions, such as Daniel or Joseph. They received information to then be used to help God's people. And there was information provided through direct speech to the prophets, to the people who wrote that down, to Moses. And then also information provided through the Mosaic Law rituals, the sacrifices, the offerings in the tabernacle and in the temple. So God always communicated like that. But then, beginning with Moses wrote the first five books of the Torah. And the word was written. And it was then continually written by the other prophets and by kings such as David and by Isaiah and Jeremiah. So we had a whole list of information now providing us the Word so that we can understand and learn from that. In the church age, since the New Testament, since the resurrection of Christ, when we had Jesus Christ, the living Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us, He was the visible, manifest glory of God. He was full of power and wisdom. And He was the God-man. He wasn't just a man. He was the God-man. Not just any man can walk on water. Not just any man can heal the sick or make the blind men see or turn water into wine. One of my favorite things. I really like to taste that. He was all powerful, and He could use the Holy God, the Father's, and the Holy Spirit's power to perform those miracles as a sign that He was the God-man. Not just man, He was the God-man. The Word was made flesh. John 1:14 said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And 1 Corinthians 1:24, "Christ, the wisdom of God." And Hebrews 1:1-3, "The Son, who He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds, upholding all things by the word of His power." So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, in the Old Testament, all the way up into the New Testament. Now, in the post-canon, now everything's written. We've got it all written. And we're in the church age. God reveals His essence and His plan only through His written Word. And it's the completed now, inerrant Word. In the Greek and the original Hebrew and in the original languages. So we now have that. When the Word is transferred from the pages of the Bible to the believer's soul. So when Pastor Dave gets up here and he's working his way through Acts, he is taking that Word, and we are listening to it, and we are learning from it. So now it's being transferred into our souls, the written Word being transferred. And I think the next time he asks me, maybe next year or whenever it is, I want to go into more detail about that transfer and how that actually works. Some more points. God's Word is more real than empirical knowledge, more reliable than anything seen, heard, or felt. So when you're running into something that's contradicting what you've learned and what you believe, believe the Word. Doctrinal orientation, be oriented to the Scripture, to what we have in those 66 books. Unlike the grass that withers and the flowers that fade, the Word of God stands forever. You can take that Word and you can take that into heaven with you. This is something that lasts forever and is immutable, will not change. God guarantees in Isaiah 55:11 that His Word never goes forth without accomplishing His will. And we can live our lives and see that being accomplished every day. Every day is a new day. Throughout human history, God makes clear the infallibility and the absolute authority of His Word. And He warns of the judgment imposed on those who ignore, reject, distort, add to, or take away. In Genesis 2:16-17, regarding the tree, "Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, and thou shalt surely die." That was direct rejection of a command, the mandate of God. Deuteronomy 12:32, "That thing soever I command you, observe to do it. So if we have things we should do in the Scripture, we should follow that direction. Hosea 4:6. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. That thou shalt not be a priest nation to me, since you have disregarded the mandates of God. So we're to learn and to apply knowledge of the Scripture and not reject it. So the Word is something we don't want to reject. In 2 Peter 2:1, but there are false prophets also among my people, even as there are false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So there's warnings to us to stay focused and obey the word. Finally, Revelations 22:18-19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and from the things which are written in the book. Pretty simple. Now, I've got a few other principles that I want to wrap up with. The principle, no believer can know the will of God apart from the Word of God. No believer can know the will of God apart from the Word of God. This is the reason why believers are exhorted to study the Word of God daily, if possible, and to expose themselves to as much Bible teaching as possible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So get into your Bibles, get in there and learn, take notes, study them after Dave gives the message. Do something every day. It's not hard, but there are so many distractions. We have great pastors, and we have great sources online to learn, and there is such an active effort to keep us from doing that. You've got TV, and now you've got the internet, and you've got all sorts of things that go on every day in your life that distract you. Oh, boy, that's a really great TV. Oh, let's watch that football game. There's just all sorts of distractions. But we want to take time to learn. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, that's a mandate. Well, can you love something if you don't know anything about it? We need to learn about God so we can love Him and honor that commandment. So you got to have information. You got to have the Bible teaching to do that. So the importance of the Word, of Bible doctrine, if you will. The Word is the only way by which you can know and love Christ. Philippians 3:10. The Word in the soul leads to occupation with Christ. Hebrews 12:2-3. Bible doctrine, the Word, is perceived under the principle of grace and produces confidence in life. So you can face life and not be afraid. Bible doctrine, the Word in the soul, is the source of divine viewpoint. So we can think with the mind of Christ. The Word is the basis for orientation to God's plan in time. Romans 8:28. The Word produces, this one, you can see this one so clearly today. The Word produces both sanity and stability of mind. And we can see all the rejection of the Word and the taking God out of the schools. And look at the crazy things we see going on with people. It seems insane. Well, it's the Word that keeps you oriented, keeps you sane. The Word produces both sanity and stability. The Word is the basis for divine guidance as well as orientation to grace. So it'll guide us it will be there for you. You will be able to, you'll know what to do. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow that to affect you each day. And finally, without the word, Satan corrupts the minds and the souls of believers. So wrapping it up, it should be obvious that divine guidance must be based on the Bible itself. For the Word of God is the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. I don't see any. We have visitors here today. I think this looks like the usual crowd. A couple of visitors. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you can join us at the park maybe later today. Jim's going to play at 10:30. And we'd like to bow our heads just briefly. It's a closing prayer. For if we have anyone here today without Christ, without hope, and without eternal life, right now is the opportunity to change that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, but as a gift of God, lest any man should boast. The Christian life begins with salvation. And it says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, we thank you for this time together to learn a little bit more about your word. We pray that you will help us to use these words on a daily basis so that we may honor you. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen.